email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
There's a lovely energy to it, Paul.
There is, because I've come running in here.
Yeah.
Out of breath.
You're stuck in traffic.
Mm. Well, we were doing this tour of South Dublin, yeah. And, you know, like, what does South Dublin mean? It means traffic, doesn't it? You know, yeah. So we got caught in traffic in around Lansdowne Road there, or the Aviva Stadium. And, yeah, so it was really authentic South Dublin experience.
Yeah, I'm just, like, because Ross's World...
Mm.
It's a 2 mile radius, is it really?
Yeah, I mean, I always say it's kind of it's really sort of Donnybrook to Foxrock Church, yes. Really, and a little bit sort of either side
of
it.
Which is probably 4 miles, 2 mile radius.
But it's changed a lot. Like, the geography of it has changed completely since I started writing the Ross books. And when I was writing Don't Look Back in Anger, I went back through the early books because I was trying to sort of bring storylines from the early books, bring them back into it and bring, yes, things to a close. And I was looking through those books and just so many places like that have gone. Like, we mentioned Kylie's earlier on, you know.
Gone.
Gone. And
Lansdowne Road was Lansdowne Road.
It was Lansdowne Road, yes, when, yes, Ross won the Leinster School Senior Cup. Yeah, so I suppose there's a sort of, it's like an archaeological dig through the past, going, yeah, back into those early books.
And just because people would be wondering about Ongar, it's Ross's mum, Fionnuala, yeah, is in a nursing home in Ongar.
In Ongar,
so,
yeah.
So that's and the reference there.
I love Ongar. I went to Ongar when I was writing this book because I wanted to see it. I always insist on researching. That's how I went to. But I have to tell you, the first time I heard of Ongar, it was on the front of a bus. I kept seeing it on the front of buses and I thought it was Irish for out of order. I thought there were buses heading back to the depot. And somebody said, no, Ongar's an actual place. And I used that. Joke in a Ross column at one point as well, you know, and other people said, yeah, I thought it was as well. But yeah, anyway, it wasn't the only one.
And there's loads of Oasis references in the chapter titles.
Yeah, the book is a real, there's a lot of sort of throwbacks to the early days of Ross, which were the late 1990s.
Yeah.
And when, so one of the things I always try to figure out what kind of music Ross was listening to. And I suppose in the late 90s, there was just so much Oasis around the place. So he was a fan. So I wanted to bring that into it as well. And so there's loads of kind of Oasis. I saw Liam Gallagher this summer, actually, in concert. And it was brilliant, nostalgic night. I want to bring about a bit of that into it as well.
And actually, you know, Ongar replaces Anger.
Yes.
I was reading somewhere that you wrote the first Ross book out of anger in it. There was a lot of anger in it.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, actually, when I read it back now, it's almost unreadable. The one that I published myself, because it's real, I suppose it's real sort of sledgehammer humour, you
vitriol?
Know?
Is it vitriol? Is there vitriol?
Yeah, there is vitriol, yeah. One of the early reviews said there was the sound, unmistakable sound of an axe being ground in this book. And I was really, really happy with that. But I'm not sure, when I look back at it now, I'm not sure how funny it is. Later on, I suppose, you know, as I got to like the character more and had more warm feelings towards him, the humour started to come into it. But in the early days, it was just satirical. So they're satirical, yeah, books, but I don't know if people would read them now and laugh out, yeah, loud at them.
Yeah, and now you sort of, I read it, he's one of the most likable characters in the book.
He might be the only likable character in the book.
Now, he's a complete cad, you know.
Yeah.
That's an old-fashioned word, but, yeah, like, he's, Fionnuala keeps referring to how highly sexed he is, you know, if that's the term.
Yeah.
She's suffering with dementia,
yeah,
you know, and she's fearful. Which allows her to say things, I suppose, as a character.
She can get away with saying things. Yes, exactly.
Is there more sex in this book than the normal ones?
You're not the first person to ask that. What is going on? There's certainly more artwork of sex in this book. You know, I just happened to give Alan Clark, I think, we'll call them love scenes, right? To illustrate. There probably is, actually. He's sort of stuck between his ex-wife and his current girlfriend,
Roz,
at the moment, Roz, and you know, he can't stay faithful to either of them as well, and I mean, his appetite isn't diminishing as he gets older, but it's what you said is quite, a lot of people have said that to me, that in the early books,
and Mary, your wife, is the first reader of all the books.
Yes.
So how do those chats go?
Yeah, she did say, there's an awful lot of sex in this one, isn't there? But yeah, Mary gives me great feedback on the books, and she's been reading them since the very start as well. So that's great to get, you know. And I always, you know, if I hear her laughing, I'll know. I mean, I really annoy her when she's reading, because I'm always going, what bit's that? What's that? I'll do more of that. What's that? And it really annoys her. But she's my barometer, really. You know, I'll kind of feel a lot more comfortable about a book if I actually hear her laughing beside me when she's reading it.
I'm often in, you know, places like Debray and Bookstation, and they have the full collection. They're normally, you know, Diary of a Wimpy Kid or whatever. Harry Potter. Yeah. You couldn't put the whole...
It's too many. It's 27. There's 24 novels and then the three spin-off ones.
You have to bring a van when you're going shopping.
I have them on a shelf in my house, and the shelf is the width, the length of the whole room. Like, right. You know, so I've got the paperbacks and the trade paperbacks. Yeah. And it's an awful lot of space, you know. That's another reason I had to stop writing the series, you know. People just don't have room on their shelves anymore for them.
So this is your first summer without Ross in how long?
Yeah, 24 years.
Right.
It's been really strange. Even when I was working full time as a sports writer, I still plotted a Ross book every summer. And at the start of a summer, I'd sit down with Rachel Pierce, my editor, and we'd talk about the next book. And I'd come up with storylines, and Rachel would look at them and say, is that better than, you know, the ambition was always to make the next book better than the last one. And over the course of the summer, we'd shape the book. And then I'd sit down usually at the end of September and start writing. So it's very strange, actually. You know, I'm sad today because it's the last first publication day of a Ross book. And so everything is sort of a last time now.
Goodbye.
You know, it's all these milestones of goodbyes.
Yeah.
But that's the big one that I've been sort of struggling with all summer. I've had time off, and I haven't had time off since, I think, the year before I sat my Leaving Cert was the last time I actually had a summer off.
And you went to the Falklands.
I did, yeah. I went to the Falklands in the winter. I went in February, the end of February. And I suppose it was the only thing on my bucket list, was going to the Falkland Islands. I was obsessed with the Falklands War when I was a kid, because it happened in 1982, just before the World Cup happened. And I was looking forward to the World Cup so much, and there was a chance it might be cancelled because of the war, if the war didn't end. So every day I was coming home, my family used to buy the British tabloid newspapers, and I was reading the Mirror and the Star, following the graphics of Port Stanley and San Carlos and Goose Green and Mount Longdon. And then I did it as my special study topic for the Leaving Cert in history. And then I never stopped being interested. I've probably read 30 or 40 books about the Falklands War. Yeah, I'm upset. Anytime something comes out, I read it. And I wanted to hike those. I wanted to go on a sort of hiking tour of the islands and walk to Goose Green.
How big is it?
I mean, not big. I mean, the habitable part of it is tiny. Most of it is uninhabited and uninhabitable. It's peat, it's bogland.
Right.
I think the islands are around the size of Munster, but Stanley, the capital, is about the size of Grafton Street. It's really, really small. The population is about 2,500. So it's really small. It's really remote. It takes quite a while to get there. You have to go via Chile. And there's only one flight in and one flight out a week. So when you land on a Saturday, you're literally watching the plane take off again as you're driving out of the airport, and you're not getting off the islands for a week. So you have to really like it to go there.
I can't imagine there are many tourists.
There's quite a few who get off cruise ships. So the cruise ships come, they go around Cape Horn from Buenos Aires to Santiago, and they stop on the Falklands.
Yes, yes.
Most of the people who were on my flight and my bus and were staying in the same guest house as I was were former soldiers who were going back to, they go back, a lot of them go back every year to lay wreaths where you know, their fellow soldiers died, children of service people who died in the Falklands War. So there's these memorials everywhere. Every mountain you climb, there's a memorial at the top. So Mount Longdon, you know, Two Sisters, Mount Harriet, and then at Goose Green, there's crosses everywhere. So it's like a permanent memorial, the place. So I hiked them all. I decided to do it while I still had my knees, because it's quite heavy terrain. It's heavy ground, a lot of climbing, not mountains, but pretty steep hills. Yeah, Tumbledown was the worst. I nearly blew off the top of Tumbledown. A wind absolutely cut me in two, and I nearly fell off the mountain.
So now that you know, Don't Look Back and Hunger's in shops. You're sort of saying goodbye to him in a real way.
Yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah. He's been part of my life for since 1998. So it's the greater part of my adult life. I've been writing Ross O'Carroll Kelly.
And this is it, without giving too much away.
Yeah.
But he was the king of no self-awareness.
And yeah.
When that moment, and it's not a falling off a horse or anything moment, but he has a moment of self-awareness.
It's a moment of self-awareness right at the end.
And that's when it's over for you, really.
I think so. But Ricky Gervais did that with The Office, when David Brent has that moment of self-awareness when he tells Finchy to bleep off at the Christmas party. And there's no coming back for David Brent after that because he's suddenly this self, you know, he's self-realized. And so there's a moment for Ross, a similar moment, not that similar, but a related moment.
And he suddenly sees himself as the rest of us see him.
Yeah.
Is that
100%. Yeah.
Please tell Paul how devastated that I won't hear about Ross anymore. Ross has helped me through some dark days. I can't read them in public because I belly laugh. I actually quote Ross and my family to remind me that he's not real.
Yes, he is.
I've every one told of them you that. And wouldn't part with them. So thank you, Paul, for all the joy you gave me over the years.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. Of course, as I reminded somebody earlier on, you still can read it on a Saturday morning in the Irish Times.
In the Irish Times. Yeah. Yeah.
And I know you did Bad Sisters, and I know you're working on something now that's a co-production with RT that you can't talk about because it's highly confidential.
Those non-disclosure agreements.
We look forward to seeing all your future work.
Thanks so much,
Ray. So it's out there. Don't Look Back in Hunger, in shops now. Ross O'Carroll Kelly's last book. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks a lot, Ray. Thank you.
Cormac is on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.